Hello and welcome to Oxcast. We're going to talk about quite a lot of exciting events this week. And first of all, I am going to talk to Ash about the cinema.
Well, what have we got the cinema this week? We've got some really nice independent stuff from the Phoenix and the UPP. And then we've got some really silly, really gory Tarantino that's going on at The View. So let's start off with the gory silliness with Django Unchained. Not to be confused, as Miranda did earlier, I'm sure she won't mind telling you, with Rango, which is the Johnny Depp animated.
This is embarrassing. I thought I was going to get geckos in the desert being cowboys, and what I actually got was, well, actually tell me what I was actually about to get.
What you actually get is a freed slave played by Jamie Foxx with two axes. I set out to rescue his wife from Mississippi plantation owner, played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
The wife is not played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
The plantation owner.
Yeah, just checking.
Yeah, there's a wonderful article on The Guardian by Charlie Brooker entitled What's More Offensive, Quentin Tarantino's New Film, A Bad Joke or a Right-Wing Newspaper Columnist? Apparently it's got just so many racial insults, so much blood, so much just gore splashing out on the screen at you. I mean, it sounds fairly true to history, really,
from the sound of it.
Well,
obnoxious, bloody, offensive, ghastly.
Maybe, yeah.
Action-packed.
Maybe. I mean, it.
Maybe it's a meta statement.
Maybe.
maybe not. I know, geckos and cowboys from any day, really.
It's an 18, so maybe I won't go and see it. I'm a massive wuss.
But surely you're 18 now.
But if you can cope with what you would expect from a Tarantino blockbuster, then it looks rather interesting.
There's also a version of The Godfather at the UPP, mm-hmm. Which is also going to be sort of more classically gory, sort of acceptably gory,
if you
like that. It's only 15, and that's Sunday at 2:30 at the Ultimate Picture Palace.
Okay, well, what else we've got?
Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
This looks really interesting. It's about an 85-year-old sushi maker. He lives in Tokyo and has been making sushi for 75 years.
75 years worth of sushi.
Yes.
So you'd imagine he's pretty good by now.
Well, yes, his son is 50 and he's considered too green to take over the family business.
Oh, good grief.
He hasn't spent long enough making sushi. Apparently, he spent the first 10 years just learning how to use your knives before you even allowed to cook eggs.
Oh, God.
This
doesn't sound fun.
He's had a very, very long career, but it is a very, very short film at 81 minutes. It looks amazing. It's been it's been up for a number of different awards. And if you go to this man's restaurant Tajiri's restaurant
in Tokyo,
you're likely to spend 30,000 kwai on, which is the cheapest you can get any kind of meal there, and that's about £210.
Wow! But on the other hand, if he's got 75 years worth of experience, then
£8 bargain for a ticket to see it at the Phoenix, and that's on at 1 at the Phoenix on Saturday.
And we have another documentary at the Phoenix, don't we, called Chasing Ice. And it's on a Monday at 6:30. Ash, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
This follows a National Geographic photographer around, as well, he starts in Iceland, and he photographs and films glaciers as they're crumbling.
Wow.
And it's, just looking at the trailer, it looks absolutely fascinating. Terrifying, but absolutely fascinating.
I really liked the way they used that in Beasts of the Southern Wild, all that crushing and crumbling,
yes.
and chunks of ice floating off into the sea. So I imagine it's sort of like that, but serious and scary and real.
Absolutely. I was really lucky a few years ago to actually go to the highest lake in the world and see a glacier sort of crumbling and hear the glacier crumbling into the lake. And it reminded me so much of that. It looks absolutely... It's up for the... It won the Sundance... Best Film Award. And also, if there are any techies out there, it seems to also focus on how the equipment, the camera equipment, dealt with the freezing weather.
Yeah.
That's a sort of an interesting subplot there.
That. And there's just one opportunity to see that, isn't there?
There is, a Monday at 6:30. I mean, but I think it will probably come to the UPP as well.
Yeah, because that's a Phoenix at the moment, Monday 6:30.
Mm-hmm. Another, well, a local film is As You Like It, which is, it's
quite unusual, isn't it?
It is. It's a film shot around Oxford, by Oxford students. There isn't that much information I can gather about it out there. They've got a great trailer, which you can see on our Facebook page. And that's showing on Wednesday at Brasenose College.
Thursday, also at 8pm. Yeah, so you've got two chances to see that one.
At 8pm, and that's just £3. And it looks like a very, very good production for, obviously, like amateur filmmakers.
Yeah, and I think it's a very interesting project as well, isn't it? Because...
Absolutely.
Yeah, not easy to do that, actually, and start to finish.
Familiar
when you're supposed to be studying something else anyway.
No, it looks like a great project, and we wish them all the best for that. So.
Well, I'll definitely try and make it down to Brasenose on Wednesday or Thursday this week for As You Like It, the film. For anyone interested in poetry, and particularly in the classics, there's an interesting lecture happening at the Friends Meeting House on Tuesday the 22nd. And it's the first of seven lectures on seven Olympians, as in seven Olympian poets, because traditionally you'd have had, at the Olympic Games, you'd have also had poetry. And a chap called Graham Fawcett is going around the UK and Wales this year trying to rectify the omission at the recent Olympic Games by talking about people like Ovid, Pushkin, Emily Dickinson, and so on and so forth. And this is the first one, and it's £10, and it's 6pm on Tuesday the 22nd at Friends Meeting House. And I thought that looked quite interesting, and then I realised I didn't really know much or anything about Ovid, and so I thought I'd ask Ash, who's in classics.
Well, it's quite a grand company Ovid's found himself in, Pushkin and Emily Dickinson and things. I think he'd be quite proud.
Byron as well.
Well, I think he got on very well with Byron.
Ah, he was that kind of poet, was he?
He is. I mean, he did a series of sort of collections of poetry, and we've all heard of the Amores and the Ars Amatoria.
We haven't all heard of that. What were they?
Well, the Amores is my personal favourite. It's one that's always, usually set for Latin core. Anyone who's doing greats out there, good luck. a series of poems, gorgeous elegiac poems. I do remember rather vividly the time that we did that, because everyone suddenly became that much more promiscuous.
Ah, interesting.
Which is incidentally why Ovid was, the reason that Ovid states as his reason for his exile, or his supposed exile in 8 AD, to Thomas from Rome by Augustus, because Augustus's grandchild Julia was getting a little bit frisky.
And because of his poetry?
Well, Ovid's poetry is rather persuasive.
It so often is, isn't it?
Yes, so do have a read.
And so that might actually be a great thing to go to on a date, that lecture, Friends Meeting House.
Definitely.
Especially if hopefully, you are with a classicist.
Well, yes, hopefully we'll focus more on the Amores and the Ars Amatoria rather than the Tristia, which is sort of the sad one. Which is,
why is it sad?
Well, it's the one he wrote in exile. There's some debate whether or not he actually went into exile, whether it was a fictional exile. I mean, it's a wonderful collection of poetry. It's just not as
just corny. Very depressing.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ars Amatoria, the Arts of Love, gorgeous. But if you are interested in the classics as well, and interested in Ovid, and you do get a taste of Ovid if you go for pleasure, I would also suggest Josephine Balmer's recent translation of the Tristia, Song for Sorrow, and her books on Ovid as well, because that's gorgeous and rather more accessible poetry. But if you are a classicist or somebody who has done the Cambridge Latin course for GCSE, Ovid is easy Latin, Odi et Amo. Gorgeous.
Great. Okay, thank you very much. And that is by no means the end of the interesting and unusual cinema going on in Oxford this week. Patrick, you've been looking into this Ashes film, haven't you?
I have. Ashes is a film directed by Matt Whitecross. He was the director of Road to Guantanamo and The Shock Doctrine. It's a film based around the story of a son who comes home in order to try and reconnect with his father, who no longer knows him as a person because his father has suffered with Alzheimer's. It's been very well received as a film from a new director. He's obviously done some famous films before, but this is a quite a serious, hard-hitting one for him. And it was largely funded by and shot on the Isle of Man, so it was transplanted into that context because that was where the funding was in the middle of the recession for an interesting film.
Oh, this is really interesting, because I assumed it was going to be about cricket.
So did I.
But not.
But it's not at all. Okay. And it seems, it seems to have a good cast and very solid kind of production.
And that's on Sunday, isn't it?
It's Sunday the 20th. It's two performances at LMH. It's
Lady Margaret Hall.
Indeed. 12:30 in the afternoon, and that's £30. And it's a preview screening, so this is get in there quickly. And if you would like a black tie screening, so remember your dinner jacket, that is £50, and that is 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Oh, that sounds great. Other interesting things that are happening this week. David Nutt of the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs fame, effectively he was fired because the government didn't like what he found, is talking on the current laws on drugs and alcohol, ineffective, dishonest and unethical, he suggests. He's talking about the ethical implications for the simplistic prohibitionist approach to drugs, and alternative strategies that might be used. He's doing that on Friday, the 18th, and that's in the Ryle Room, and that's within the Radcliffe Humanities on the Woodstock Road, and that's at 4 p.m. on Friday. And on that topic...
I'll say that sounds like something that would impact everyone, potentially, so...
Yeah. I mean, there are many arguments for and against, but I think it's worth listening to what he has to say, because what we've got at the moment simply isn't working. You know, too many people are getting
in touch with research into it.
Things. Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, that'd be an interesting one, certainly. On the topic, there's an opening event for an exhibition called Chemistry, which is at the Old Fire Station. It's a launch. It's 5:30 p.m. On Friday, and the photographic artists Dulcie Lott and Imran Upal explore the theme of chemistry in their new exhibition. They're looking at lots of things. They're looking at science, alchemy, and emotional interaction.
So quite a broad based exhibition.
Yeah, I think they're sort of taking the word and running with it. And being photography, I'd be quite interested to see what they're doing with that, because I've got some visions of what you could do with it with art, but you know, sort of painting and drawing and stuff, but not so much with photographs. That should be cool.
There's also a highly regarded cafe now at the Oxford Fire Station.
Yes, I hear it's good.
So it might be if you need a little bit of resuscitation at your art gallery, that could be a good option.
Absolutely. And so the exhibition is starting now, and that's the launch for it. There's lots of good theatre on this week as well. Quite a lot of emphasis on classical music, actually, because we've got The Handmaid's Tale. Margaret Atwood fans will remember her apocalyptic book, which has become a new chamber opera by Chris Garrard. And that's happening on Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th at 8 p.m. And it's £5, which is very reasonable, I think.
That's very reasonable.
Yeah, and that's at the Jacqueline Dupre in St Hilda's.
Which is a nice building.
It is a very nice building.
If you are interested in some rarer opera, something that you probably haven't had the opportunity to see yet, indeed, a lot rarer, and may not get an opportunity to see again until it's redone by the same people, perhaps, that would be The Judgment of Paris, which is on at the Ashmolean, and it's by Jonathan Eccles from 1701, so it's a venerable piece. And that's part of the Ashmolean's series on Fridays, where they're trying to bring art and theatre into the museum, make it more engaging through that. And that's Friday the 25th, two performances at 7:30 and 9 p.m, £5 or £3 concessions, which, again, is very
reasonable.
Again,
it's very reasonable.
We're lucky in Oxford to have both very good theatre, lots of it, and well-priced.
Well-priced,
this month anyway, so get it while you can. What would you say The Judgment of Paris was about?
Well, I'm assuming it's about Paris as in Troy, Paris. He was... it all started when an outraged nymph of some kind came and threw a golden apple, one of the golden apples of the Hesperides.
It's always the outraged nymphs.
It always is. I mean, frequently outraged.
she throws this golden apple onto the table and says, for the fairest. And so immediately all the gods and goddesses, there's plenty of discord.
Decide it's the definitely discord. Them.
Exactly. And so they call on the mortal Paris to decide whether Aphrodite, Athena, or Hera is the fairest goddess.
He was effectively the tiebreaker.
He was the tiebreaker, and unfortunately for him, because Athena offered him
maybe.
Well, quite. Athena offered him victory in war. They all tried to bribe him, you see, and Athena offered him victory in war, and Hera offered him power, and Aphrodite offered him sex.
And which one did he go for?
Well, strangely enough, he went for Aphrodite and got given Helen, who was the fairest woman in the world, and eloped with her, and unfortunately started the Trojan War.
All very understandable.
Indeed.
Very unfortunate.
Anyway, in the London Gazette of 18th of March 1700, a group of English nobles decided to offer a music prize, music with a K prize, because those are the days, for the best setting of Congreve's short libretto on the story of the Judgment of Paris.
Right. So this was a pre-written work that had not been done
not been
to
set
their
to music.
Satisfaction.
Well, it hadn't been set to music.
Ah, just I see. Libretto. Right, yes.
The first prize was 100 guineas. It's rather sweet.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. However, only four composers entered the competition.
Interesting.
And they were John Weldon, John Eccles, Daniel Purcell, and Gottfried Finger. And the audience in 1703 judged the winner, and the winner was expected to be Eccles, whose opera is now being staged at the Ashmolean, but actually Weldon won.
So never trust your audience.
Never trust your audience. However, in 1989, they restaged the whole thing, and at that point, Eccles won. So
how nice. It'd
be very interesting to hear the two together and
wouldn't
see
it?
How tastes have changed.
We could, that would be something to travel back in your time machine with. That would be brilliant.
So, anyway, do go along to the Ashmolean Museum's Judgment of Paris. Well, it's not the Ashmolean doing it, but it's the Ashmolean hosting it, as it were. This 1701 fairly rare piece, which should be quite interesting.
And be any other bakery-related items in Oxford?
Well, speaking of Eccles, sorry, I've got an Eccles cake fan here, there is in Abingdon a bakery and craft market on Saturday the 19th of January. It's three local craftswomen who have got together and will be selling delicious, beautiful and useful things, all locally made. And that's between 11 and 3 p.m. on the 19th of January at St. Ethelwald's House, East St. Helens Street, Abingdon.
Abingdon, which has the Ock River running through it, which is usually quite pretty and currently very large. So if you want to see an impressively swollen river, go and stand on the bridge. Would be my advice.
Okay. I'll bear that in mind. On the subject of cake, it was rather a depressing tie-in, but, you know, it's
yes, it's kind of let them eat cake. Can we?
Yes.
This stage? There is, as many people are no doubt aware, a possible, or indeed current, and possibly getting better or possibly not, global food crisis. This is being exacerbated by climate change, the way that we use or misuse land, depending on who you talk to, degradation of water resources, food price inequality, and various other more subjective perceptions of it. But it's generally accepted to be a big problem and something that needs a strategy to cope with it, much like climate change, and has become quite a big discipline within environmental science.
And especially looking to the future, because we've now got 7 billion people and rising, and
yes,
the planet
population being the elephant in the room of the climate change circle, according to the climate change scientists I've spoken to about it. There is a new book, 1 Billion Hungry, Can We Feed the World? Covering this topic, and it outlines a sustainable and achievable path to end endemic hunger, which sounds very plausible. And if you'd like to hear about it, that is on Monday the 21st at 6 p.m.
And the man who wrote it, Sir Gordon Conway, is talking on his book. It's one of the Green Templeton Lectures for 2013, Feeding a Better Future. It's the first lecture of four in the series. So
that might be an interesting series.
Yeah, so if you're concerned about that, as we all should be, that would be an interesting one to go to. Also on Monday the 21st at 6 p.m, however, is a rather more relaxing, I imagine, lecture on the use of Tibetan Buddhist ritual objects in sutra, tantra and devotional practices.
That's at Wolfson College, Linton Road, and all are welcome to that. It's Monday 21st, 6 p.m, lecture by Ven Argyra. And so if you've ever wondered what the ritual use of butter lamps, incense, malas, tormas, stupas, thankers, and so on was, that's the place to go to find out.
Sounds like it might be a good thing to visit the Pitt Rivers.
Yes, exactly, before or after or during. They've actually got their last lecture on this week about...
They're Made for Trade.
Made for Trade.
Exactly.
Yes.
I really want to go to that.
What time is it?
I fear it is on Friday afternoon.
So that's unlikely tomorrow, given that we're a little snowed under this week. However...
If you have time.
If you have time on Friday afternoon, go along to the Pitt Rivers and hear about... their Made for Trade exhibition.
Yes, many, many objects, including solar-powered prayer wheels. And
yeah, which is a fantastic idea.
And sort of
all the weird things that people have made in order to sell globally.
You may even be able to buy them in the gift shop.
Who knows? But, that definitely sounds like going along to it. It's the last chance to hear about the exhibition. So if you've been meaning to go, Friday afternoon is your last chance.
So on the subject of global...
disasters.
Problems and disasters. Are there any other disasters being discussed this week?
There is indeed the oil road, which is a talk and workshop talking about the drive to control oil reserves and what it's doing to society and the environment. Not just trying to push the idea of it being a disaster, but simply examining the different shapes it's formed society into these days.
So kind of the social impact.
Yeah, social impact and the environmental impact of things like tar sands and so on. And that's the Oxford Hub.
See, tar sands don't sound appealing as a thing.
No, but I think they're all right as long as the tar stays underneath.
Yes.
and that's Tuesday the 22nd, 7:15, and it's free, and that's the Oxford Hub in Turl Street. There's quite a lot of good lectures on this week, actually. Martin Gayford, the art critic, is coming to talk on Sitting for a Portrait by Lucian Freud, which should be quite interesting. And he's also written a book called Conversations with David Hockney and Man with a Blue Scarf. And he's part of the series of lectures in life writing that OCLW are doing. And so he'll be interesting for anybody who's thinking of writing graphy, auto or otherwise, and that's happening on Tuesday the 22nd at 5:30 at Wolfson. We also have an adaptation of Alice, don't we? Alice in Wonderland.
That's right. There have been several reinterpretations of late of Alice, mostly for the stage.
Mm.
This one is by the Gobo Theatre Foundation, and as a company, their main aim, or one of their main aims, is to give the chance for a newly graduated actor to star or at least appear in a production. So it's kind of new actors and very worthy because of that. It's travelling around all the village halls in Oxfordshire. There are more village halls in Oxford than I realised. It's at Appleton Village Hall, Appleton being a village on very near to the Thames. If you're walking the Thames Path, it has a shop. Useful to know. That's on Saturday the 19th at 7:30 and is £10 or £8 concessions. It's a reinterpretation in which the beginning is at a funeral, and
that I wouldn't have predicted.
It was a surprise.
At a funeral.
Hopefully it's brought round to a kind of positive conclusion.
I'm intrigued. I'm telling you, I'm definitely intrigued.
The reviews that we've received have suggested, and obviously being a reinterpretation, please do tell us what you think it is, that Wonderland could be considered to be the state of grief and the exaggerated characters of the dystopia, possibly because of the shock that she's in. Due to that, that's on for... It's got a very long run, and it is travelling around. If it's not near you, it probably will be
soon.
All the dates are on the website, so you can find out there.
So do have a look at dailyinfo.co.uk.
For everything.
For everything. But also, in addition to Alice, also it rains.
Yes, Pegasus runs... this is the Pegasus Theatre on Magdalen Road in Cowley. Runs various regular slots for young artists. In fact, a lot of what Pegasus does really is about young people and art. This is their young local band and solo artist night. It's on Saturday the 19th at 7 p.m, £4 in advance or £3 on the door. These are young people who have come through either the iRocks project or Rock School or BG Music or the Young Women's Music Project, and they will be performing the music they like to perform. We have on offer a rapper, a grime rapper, a neo-soul, I don't know what grime rapping is. I was hoping I could gloss over that one. But it does sound interesting. Maybe it's kind of 90s grunge to a hip-hop beat.
Not sure grunge is the
same as grime. I think I'm beginning to sound old now. Yeah. 90s. Neo-soul singer-songwriter. An R&B singer. A five-piece band.
Cool, so quite a variety night then.
Yes, rap duo. Yet more alternative singer-songwriter. So if you didn't like any of the others, there's an alternative for you.
Sounds like there'd be something for everyone in that.
You would hope so.
Reins is spelled R-E-I-N-S. So yes. If you're looking for it. If you're a bit older but you still want to rock, the Oxford Rock Choir is having a free taster session on Tuesday the 22nd at Charwell School. And that's at 7:30 p.m. You don't have to be able to read music. You don't even have to audition. You can just go along and sing. They do tunes such as Can't Hurry Love, Valerie, Walking on Broken Glass, and Something Inside So Strong. Speaking of community choirs, if rock isn't so much your scene, there's an interesting thing just come to Oxford, which is Oxford Sacred Harp Singing, which oddly has nothing to do with harps.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's a good name.
It's an American tradition. It's 200 years old, and it's sacred unaccompanied folk song in parts.
So kind of barbershop.
Sort of barbershop, except you've got lots of people doing it. So you've got a whole choir.
Okay.
Doing it. You divide it into parts, and what you do is each part forms one side of a hollow square. And apparently the thing to do is stand in the middle of the square and get complete surround sound.
Which sounds a bit like the experiments that occasionally people ask for volunteers where they play funny frequencies at you and apparently you fall over and things like that.
It should be a bit like that, only prettier and without falling over.
Exactly, yeah.
So anyway, that sounds great. You can learn by ear or with music. Their first session was on the 15th of January and they've got another session coming up this Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. at the New Road Baptist Church in Bond Square.
And is that something that where they're looking for new members?
New members. Anyone can turn up. You don't have to be religious to do it. They accept people of all faiths or non-faiths. And, that sounds...
Sounds a lot of fun.
Really fun. If you're interested in folk and, it's a custom from America that's spreading to Europe now and it's starting to become quite big, particularly in London.
And harmony singing is great fun. It's really satisfying stuff.
We've got some dance happening as well, haven't we?
We do. Again at the Pegasus, another... young people sort of show night. It's a first stage dance scratch, which is part of Dance in Oxford, which is Oxford's dance festival that happens every year. And this is their 2013 preview, so it's an opportunity to see performances in their very early stages, so kind of workshop being workshopped out, but to an audience, see them, and you can give feedback after the show, which... hopefully we'll feedback into the
useful.
Final production. That's on Friday at 7:30, Friday the 25th, and that's free. What is unfortunately not... Well, it is on Friday at 8 p.m. on the 18th.
But if you haven't got a ticket yet...
You can't get one. It's been sold out for quite some time. Jeremy Hardy, unsurprisingly, at the Playhouse, one night only. Looks like that would be quite fun, especially if you like Radio 4 comedies, which he seems to appear in most of. If you have a ticket, good for you. If you don't, read the review on Daily Info. I'm sure it'll be great. if you're interested in the sky at night or the transition of people from looking at the sky to looking at through telescopes, is there anything for you?
There is indeed. There's a talk on Oxford's observatories from the Radcliffe Observatory, which we all know about, to the lesser known ones. And that's
There are some little ones.
Like
at the back of the science area. I probably shouldn't say this, but the University Security Services...
You're giving away spoilers.
Spoiler
no
alert.
Spoilers here. Spoiler alert. However, starting at Radcliffe and going on to the one at the back of the science area, Professor Geoffrey Tyack will take you through them all. He is from the Oxford Preservation Trust. And that's £5 or £7 at the Key Learning Centre, Oxford Castle, on Tuesday the 22nd at 6 p.m. Also on Tuesday the 22nd is actually a really big day for a lot of really interesting things in Oxford. It's a shame one can't be everywhere at once.
Take that day off.
Yeah,
book it now.
But in the evening at 7:30, in the evening at 6, there is a lecture by Gavin Davies, who is a former chairman of the BBC, on the future of the BBC, called A 2020 Vision for the BBC. See what they did there, 2020 in the future and 2020 vision. You know.
Yeah, that's quite clever.
Yep. That's at the Syed Business School, Park End Street, and that's on Tuesday the 22nd at 6.
I wonder how many people are employed to make that sort of title up.
I don't know, but it'd be a great job, wouldn't it?
It would be wonderful, yeah.
You'd do it in the pub, I should think, late at night.
This brilliant idea.
Yeah. Sadly, I think like chocolate tasting, you couldn't make it be your whole job. It's probably one of the perks of another really boring job. However, another interesting thing you could go to on Wednesday the 23rd is a lecture by Professor Kofi Agawu from Princeton. Is African music superior?
Quite a provocative.
It's a provocative title. I'd be very interested to go to that. That's on Wednesday the 23rd at the Dennis Arnold Hall in the Faculty of Music down in St Aldates. And that's 5 p.m. and it's free. And he's talking, it's a whole series of lectures on Western Central African musical creativity. So that should be pretty good. And you've got something to tell us about George Washington.
Yes, George Washington and three other people.
John Adams, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison.
You indeed can hear about all of these people and an aspect of them and their lives and their influences that maybe doesn't spring to mind when
it's not the one you'd expect, is it?
No, not at all. It's Andrea Wolfe, who has written a book called Founding Gardeners, and it's looking at the botanical aspects of the main founding fathers and what impact they had on both the Constitution and also the whole kind of
and
founding
the horticulture.
Principles and horticulture of America.
And the agriculture, presumably.
Yes, indeed. And you may have heard potentially apocryphal stories of cherry trees and George Washington.
Is
whether
that apocryphal?
He did. Well, my research indicates that it comes from a source which may or may not be reliable. There was a lot of popular writing and there was a feeling that people wanted good moral stories about people like George Washington to tell their children, and I think people stepped up to the plate and wrote them down
having
spoken to him as a child and so forth. So I think we can believe it.
Ethics is weird, isn't it? Anyway,
it's very strange, and he's skimmed a silver dollar all the way across all the large rivers in America and all these kind of things.
Constantly touring the states, skimming dollars across it. I must have wasted a lot of money. Anyway.
Well, maybe there's a fortune to be found at the bottom of the Mississippi, if you can get there.
I think it moves.
Yes, that's the problem. It's under the mud somewhere. It's a very rich crocodile, or alligator, rather.
Very rich, but very heavy.
Yes, and shiny. So it's an in-depth look at this side of them and their lives.
And plants.
And so if you like plants and you like interesting things about plants, I think this could be very interesting. You might want to go to Botanic Gardens as well. That's another little talk and walk for you. And if that's perhaps a little too in-depth and you need something a bit lighter to finish off your whole series of events that you're going to be going through this week, there is a very nice option of Flanders and Swann.
Sadly, not the real Flanders and Swann because they're dead, but
that's
a tribute
very
band.
Sad. Yes, a tribute band, exactly. It's Tim Fitzheim and Radio 4 musical maestro, apparently, Duncan Walsh Atkins, and it's an evening of Flanders and Swann songs, and no doubt anecdotes.
Hippopotamus, have some Madeira, Madeira. Probably the omnibus song. You know,
you'd hope. Yeah. Many things, and that is at the Playhouse, Saturday the 19th at 7:30 and 9 p.m. That's either £18 or £13 if you're a concession.
Lovely. And last event we have on our list this week is also theatre and also unusual. It's the Cornerstone Arts Centre in Didcot, and they are doing a piece of children's theatre called Circles in the Sand. That's on Sunday, and it's at 11 a.m, 2 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. It's for ages 0 to 3 and adults. It's £8 or £6 concessions, so, you know, if you have a large family, it's not super cheap, but it does sound a lot of fun. It's children's theatre exploring sand, and you know, it's buckets and spades and all sorts of things. Audience participation. All you need to bring is a cushion to sit on. No sand. They provide their own sand.
That's good.
Yeah, go and play with sand at the Cornerstone Arts Centre with your toddler on Sunday the 20th.
Sounds brilliant.
And that's the end of our highly selective selection for this week, but new events coming in all the time, so to keep yourself updated, do keep an eye on www.dailyinfo.co.uk.